We come to the table of the Lord tonight and we consider the Lord's last words. So last, really over a period of time, as we've come to the Lord's table, we've talked about each of the sayings of the Lord on the cross. And tonight we come to the very last of the Lord's sayings on the cross. So if you will, take your Bible and go with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. Luke, chapter 23. Where Luke records these words for us. Luke chapter 23, I'll begin reading in verse 44. And then we'll read through verse 46, where these last words of Jesus are recorded. And it came, and it was about the sixth hour. Remember that in the Hebrew calendar, the day starts at 6 in the morning. And each hour then is counted. So the sixth hour is about noontime. And we read that it was the sixth hour and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. That's 3 in the afternoon. And the sun was darkened and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now, when we read these last words, I want you to notice that this is an intimate return or restoration in the relationship that Jesus had with his Father. Jesus had this close relationship with the Father. He as God the Son and God the Father in perfect union together in all their days until this day and until these hours. And Jesus, even before these hours, depicted this intimate relationship. He calls him Father. John 17, when Jesus begins this beautiful prayer prior to his arrest and crucifixion, he begins with these words, "Father, the hour is come." In the garden, when he is awaiting the time when he is to be arrested, he is praying there. And while he is praying, he tells his Father, "Father, not my will, but thine be done." And as he was taken and tried and convicted through the night, now having been beaten, carrying his cross to Golgotha, the place of the skull, now on this day of his crucifixion, Jesus has the sins of the world laid upon him, and it destroys the intimacy that he had with his Father all the way until this very hour. And he cries out, do you remember, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So that this one who has always been in intimate with him from eternity past, an intimate father-son relationship. Now God is his God. For the sin of the world has severed the fellowship that they enjoyed. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And so he hangs there and he hangs in the darkness. He comes to the end of this phase of his existence. And there's one last thing that he says, and now he returns to this relationship with his Father, and he says, as we read it here, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." This fellowship is again restored. They are reconciled. And you know, that's how we ought to live, in an intimate relationship with our Lord. When we come to this table, it brings us back to the cross and the price that was paid. And we think of Jesus and all that he means to us. We think back at the time when we came to Christ and his resurrection and new sacrifice and resurrection became real to us and personal. And we knew and experienced his power to save. But this reminds us as well, every time we gather together, that God is a God that takes people that are broken and he brings them to restoration. And sometimes even in our fellowship, when our fellowship is broken, this table again reminds us to come back to the Lord and to live in fellowship with him. You see, Father is not just a familial standing in that God is my Father and your Father when you put your trust in Christ. But this is a fellowship status so that, yes, God is my Father. But when we come to this table, we are to rejoin the Father and examine ourselves to make sure that we are in an intimate fellowship with our Lord and our God. So we come to this table, and I hope you already have prepared yourself. We will in time and have time to prepare ourselves to enjoy this intimate relationship with the Father around this table. Well, then there's something else. There's an intimate care of the Father. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. So Jesus comes to the end of this journey. And he acknowledges the future that he has rests in the hands of the Father. When Peter preached on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, he described the day and what Jesus was experiencing on the cross. And he reminds us of these words. I'll read Acts chapter 2, verse 22, and then through verse 24. Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth. A man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held of it. Do you see the hands? The hands that were in control of Jesus, even at the hour that we just read, are wicked hands. And Jesus turns from the wicked hands and he turns his head, eyes heavenward. And he turns to the hands of his loving Father. When Jesus was in the garden just hours before this time, do you remember he had those three that were the closest to him, Peter, James, and John, and they came apart from the others. And he asked them to watch and pray with him. And then Jesus separates himself and he fellowships with his Father and pours out his soul to the Father. And he finds them sleeping in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 45. Then cometh he, that's Jesus, to his disciples and saith, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. And I picture Jesus there as he comes back and sees the men sleeping and he's talking out loud, realizing that they're not going to hear him. But the hour has come. And now, having been delivered into the hands of sinners and crucified by these cruel and wicked hands, these hands that slapped him and these hands that beat him, the hands that put him in bonds, the hands of Pilate that were upheld after he washes them is a symbol that I find no fault, absolving himself of responsibility, shifting blame. These hands that nailed him to the tree, the hands that hoisted the tree and up into the air and placed it into the receptacle in the ground, the hands that pierced him, and the hands that platted a crown of thorns upon his head. These hands, wicked hands. Jesus turns to them and he seeks the refuge in the hands of Almighty God. Can I ask you, when we come to this table, where do you seek your refuge? Do you seek your refuge in some kind of a relationship as though that is going to satisfy the longing of the soul? Healthy and wonderful relationships are just that. They're wonderful. But friend, it is not a replacement for fellowship with the Father. Do you seek status? Do you seek in a substance something that's going to satisfy? Something that's going to meet a need that only fellowship with the Father can meet? Do you give yourself to the hands of the Lord God, whom you can trust with everything that you are? This table reminds us to come to His hands. And then Jesus then in this portion of scripture gives an intentional release of himself to the care of the Father. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. I borrow from Charles Swindoll and his work on this one verse. He reminds us that the phrase indicates the action of the sentence in preparation for death's journey. Jesus voluntarily committed his spirit to the Father's care. And he asks the question, well, how could this be? He was bearing the sins of the world. How could Jesus, bearing the sins of the world, expect such gracious treatment from God, who just prior to this turned his back on him? And it is true, I think, that 1 John chapter 2 gives us some perspective. I'll turn in my Bible there. You're welcome to turn with me. 1 John chapter 2. And I'll read verse 1 and then verse 2 of 1 John chapter 2. John writes this, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God's righteous wrath blazed. The entire human race was immediately plunged into the condemnation of sin. But Christ's obedient suffering on the cross propitiated, turned away the wrath, and satisfied the wrath of God. So Christ's death became an acceptable offering and satisfied God's requirements for righteousness. The price was paid and fellowship was restored. And the price having been paid, Jesus could say, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And then these words picture, or are a picture of the individual hope of all of us who are in Christ. Now, you most likely are familiar with the words that Jesus said here by the saying on the cross. That's probably where you are most familiar with it. But this is not where Jesus was most familiar with it, not on the cross. In fact, Jesus was most familiar with this from he is the living word, knew this already, but from his study as a boy of the Psalms. This is a quote from Psalm 31. In fact, you can turn with me there to Psalm 31. Psalm 31. Jesus at his death, in the very last words that he utters before he gives up the ghost, he quotes this psalm, Psalm 31. The quote is taken from verse 5, into thy hand I commit my spirit. This psalm is a fitting psalm. How apropos, this is a psalm of that is a prayer for deliverance from an enemy. We read beginning in verse 1, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust? Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for a house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock, my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Put me out of the net that they have privately laid for me. For thou art my strength. Pull me out of that net. I'm trapped. And so there's a prayer for deliverance from an enemy. But then verse 5 that Jesus quotes is a prayer for redemption. Into thy hand I commit my spirit, Jesus quotes. This is the part that's quoted on the cross. But then the second part is also fulfilled on the cross, though it was not quoted. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Redeemed. Think of a slave who is held in bondage. And then the price is paid so that that slave can be released and be freed. You may think of someone who is kidnapped and they are held for a ransom. And then the ransom price is paid and they are released. And for the very first time, Jesus having taken the sins of the world upon himself for the very first time in all of eternity, past, present, or past and future, Jesus knew what it was to be under the bondage of sin. Now the price having been paid, the satisfaction made, the Father satisfied, it could be said indeed that Jesus was redeemed. I borrow from Chuck Swindoll again. After uttering these final words, he was gone. And before the echo of his cry went silent, the glorious King of Heaven slipped from his battered frame and into the Father's arms. The pain and the suffering ceased. The deafening silence lingered in the air. The execution was over. Christ's death was accomplished. And in his shroud was wrapped the payment for the sins of the entire world. And 3 days later, Jesus comes out of the grave, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. And when we come to this table tonight, we who are in Christ will say with confidence, not just thinking of the time that we came to Jesus by faith and we said, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit, Lord, I come to you." We look forward to the time beyond this table, and we look forward to the time when we will breathe our last breath and we will say with confidence, because of Christ, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." Are you ready to be with the Lord? If not, I pray that tonight, before we come to this table, you will prepare yourself. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, tonight's the night for you to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we come to this table, for those of us who know Him, this is the time to make restoration as well. Well, with that said, then, let's pray, and then we will come to this table. So, Lord, we come to you and look forward to fellowshipping around this sacred place. We visited the cross. How sacred it is. Strangely enough, that cross is our glory. And we come to this table, and at this table we again think of this as a sacred place where we look back and look forward to the return of Jesus. And we say, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." I ask it in His name. Amen. Would you take the words will be projected. If you want a hymnal, you can go in your hymnal to number 175. Would you stand with me? We're going to sing, "Hallelujah, What a Savior. Man of Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came. Hallelujah, what a Savior.
Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came. Ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, condemned He stood, sealed my pardon with His blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior."
We're going to sing the last verse of this, "When He Comes Our Glorious King," in just a moment. Let me just explain our practices at Stanley Heights. Here we practice what we call close communion or Lord's Supper. It means that if you are a member here, a member here, you're welcome to share with us. If you are in fellowship with God, you've been born again, then you are welcome to join and share this table with us. Some people may not feel comfortable with that, and we understand that. So you are welcome to stay, even if you don't participate, and be here. If you need to slip out, we also want you to feel free to do that if you would feel uncomfortable celebrating this Lord's table with us tonight. But I just wanted to let you know about that. And as we continue on, we'll sing this last verse, and I'm going to ask the men to come as we will serve the cup tonight. All right, let's sing together that last verse of this song, "When He Comes, Our Glorious King."
When He comes, our glorious King,
all His
ransomed home to bring.
Song
we'll sing, hallelujah, what a Savior.
You may be seated. The Apostle Paul tells about the time when Jesus instituted this Lord's Supper. And he tells the Corinthian church, who's having some real problems in their fellowship with the Lord and with one another, about preparing for the Lord's table. And he reminds them that of these words, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man so examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." And he reminds them that whenever you come to this Lord's table, that you are to make sure that you are right with God and right with others. And oh, their church, the sad things that were taking place in the Lord's church for people that were not right with the Lord, controlled by their flesh and their selfishness and the division it brought, the harm it brought to one another and to the testimony of the Lord. In fact, in this passage, the Apostle Paul went on and said, in fact, it's so bad there are some of you that are sick. You have physical maladies that were given by me, by the Lord, as a direct result of your disrespect of the Lord at this table. And there are some that God even killed them and took them home earlier than they should have gone home, because it was God's direct intervention and judgment on them because they dishonored the Lord at this table. And so when we come to this, we come with gratitude and with joy, with sweet fellowship with the Lord and with one another. But we also come aware of the sacredness of these moments. And so it is that when we partake, this is a time for you to make sure that you are right with God. In fact, this is really God's encouragement. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And God wants us, when we come to this table, to examine ourselves. Are we right with God? Are we right with the people that are in this place? If there's a division between you or a brother and sister, when we bow our heads to pray, would you very quietly, would you go to that brother and sister and step aside to a place in our building, and would you make sure you do all that you can to bring restoration to that relationship? Otherwise, do not partake. And if you, and this is not God's heart at all, God wants you to be restored. But if you will continue knowingly not right with the Lord, when the tray is passed, would you make sure you just pass it along? And please do not dishonor the Lord by unworthily partaking of the Lord's table. In these days with COVID-19, we have been using that single serving. And it's very challenging to get that worked out at times. So if you need one, and that for some reason the distribution of these doesn't work out, if you will just let the men know, and they will get those to you. If you're having trouble getting that done, and how many of you know that the trouble we have? Okay, if you need help getting that two-step process done, just if you'll just tell one of the men, they will be happy to help you. And they'll be praying, "Lord, help me to get that open." So, all right. Men, would you stand and we will serve. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Let's sing it.
I hear the Savior.
You may serve.
Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it.
And then we're going to sing the last verse of that song. And when before the throne I stand in him complete.
And when before the throne I stand in him complete. Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord. Let's sing it together, shall we?
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord. Grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Mount outpoured. There where the blood of the Lamb was spilt. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is
our sin. There are so many different songs that we can sing, and with the way that we serve with just one serving there, we have to just pick and choose to do it all in a way that's orderly and honoring to the Lord. But I want to sing one more song before we partake of the Lord's Supper tonight and the Lord's table. And that is, His name is wonderful. We may sing one more, but at least we want to sing, His name is wonderful. Let's lift our voices together on that.
His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He's the great Shepherd, the Rock of all ages. Almighty God is here. Jesus, my Lord.
The scriptures remind us of this as the Apostle Paul teaches us, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "For I received with the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." You may take the bread. And then in like manner, he took the cup. And we want to sing, we'll sing a song about the blood of the Lord before we take this cup. Let's sing together, "Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb."
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am.
So we read, after the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament," or the new covenant, "in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Then the apostle reminds us of these words, "For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Let's stand and sing "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound."
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. 'Twas blind, but now,
when we've been there 10,000 years,
when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
God's blessings this week and night.